विशेषेरा जरा आज्ञा होना चाहिए अमारे प्रभुरा आज्ञा ये से गिगा खोरीपी खोरीबारे. The king gave a special order for me to do without delay whatever your lordship orders. Tomar yogya seva nahi mandira marjan e kalila kora ye tumaraman. My dear Lord, washing the temple is not befitting you. Nonetheless, if you wish to do so, it is to be accepted as one of your pastimes. Kintu kata samarjani bahuta chahiye agya deha aji sabha ihan anidhiye. To wash the temple, you need many water pots and brooms. Therefore, order me, I can immediately bring all these things to you. Nutan eka sata gata shata samarjani podicha ani adilla prabhura ichajani. As soon as the superintendent understood the desire of the Lord, he immediately delivered 100 new water pots and 100 brooms for sweeping the temple. Aradine prabhate laya nijagana shri haste shabara ange lepila chandana. The next day, early in the morning, the Lord took his personal associates with him and with his own hand smeared sandalwood pulp on their bodies. Sri haste dila sabare eka eka marjani sabakana laya prabhu chalila apani. He then gave each devotee a broom with his own hand, and taking all of them personally with him, the Lord went to Gundicha. Gundicha mandire gila korite marjana pratame marjani laya korila shodana. In this way, the Lord and his associates went to cleanse the Gundicha temple. At first, they cleansed the temple with the brooms. Bithara mandira upar sakala majila singhasana majipuna sthapana korila. The Lord cleansed everything inside the temple very nicely, including the ceiling. He then took up the sitting place, singhasan, cleansed it, and again put it in its original place. Shotapada mandir koila marjana shodahana pache taiche sodila sri jaga muhana. Thus the Lord and his companions cleansed and swept all the temple's buildings, big and small, and finally cleansed the area between the temple and the kirtan hall. Charitike shata bhakta sammarjani kore apanishottina prabhu sikana sabare. Indeed, hundreds of devotees were engaged in cleansing all around the temple, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally carrying out the operation just to instruct others. Premolase shodena laina krishna nam bhakta kana krishna kohe kore nija kama. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation, chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna all the time. Similarly, all the devotees were also chanting and at the same time performing their respective duties. Dhuli dushatanu dekite sobhana Kahan kahan ashujale kori samarjana. The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt. In this way it became transcendentally beautiful. At times when cleansing the temple, the Lord shed tears, and in some places he even cleansed with those tears. Boga mandir shodan kari shodila pangana sakala avashakrame korila shodana. After this, the place where the deity's food was kept, Bhog Mandir, was cleansed. Then the yard was cleansed. Then all the residential quarters, one after another. Trinaduli jinkura saba ekatra koriya bahir vase laya pelai bahira koriya. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected all the straw, dust, and grains of sand in one place, he gathered it all in his own cloth and threw it outside. E mata bhakta gana kori nija vase trinaduli bihari pelai pelai paramaharishe. Following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees in great jubilation began to gather straws and dust with their own cloth and throw them outside the temple. Purabhu kahi ekata koriyache samarjan trinaduli dekile janiba parishram. The Lord then told the devotees, I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleaned the temple simply by seeing all the straw and dust that you have collected outside. Sabara jantana boja ekatra korila saba hoite prabhura boja adika phoila. Even though all the devotees collected dust in one pile, the dirt collected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was much greater. There's no purports till 20 pages later. With your blessings. At the conclusion of this chapter 12, the cleansing of the Gundicha temple from the Madhya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explaining the very significant lesson that is taught to all aspiring Vaishnavas. In the verses we read today, there are so many essential points that devotees should contemplate and apply to their spiritual lives. We have begun with King Prataparudra being approached by the superintendent of the temple, telling that Lord Chaitanya desires to clean the Gundicha temple. In India, socially, the Bangi class, people who are considered very low in the social status, they do the sweeping. Usually for things like sweeping, even in a temple, they hire someone to do it. But here we find the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who socially is a Brahmin and a sannyasi. And beyond that, he's the absolute truth. He's enthusiastically appealing that he, along with all of his associates, and who are his associates? People like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who are the greatest elderly scholars in the world, Swarup Damodar Goswami, scholars, wonderful musicians, sannyasis, He wants to gather all of his devotees together to clean the temple. And Kashi Mishra and the superintendent of the temple appeal to the Lord, it is not befitting for you to be cleaning the temple. I don't know if many of you have been in the Gundicha temple because Western people are not allowed. But it's a big area. It's a big area. And not only that, but the temple is really only used for Lord Jagannath for 2 weeks a year. The rest of the time, you know, people go in, but it's not really kept so well. So there's a lot of serious cleaning to be done there. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to show the world that in the service of the Lord, there is no external considerations that makes the service high or low. Anything to be done in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate benediction of life. Because in serving Krishna, we have the opportunity to please Krishna, and there's no greater attainment than that. So Lord Chaitanya was not only volunteering to perform the most menial service of cleaning and washing all day long, but he was doing it with such anticipation and eagerness. And King Prataparuja understood the mood of the Lord. And actually, that's how he ultimately won the heart of the Lord. He saw that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's eager to sweep and clean. So a couple weeks later, when it was time for Ratha Yatra, or not a couple, a couple days later, when it was time for Ratha Yatra, King Prataparuja himself accepted the role of a simple street sweeper for Lord Jagannath and the Vaishnavas. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that melted his heart to such a degree that he decided right then, my most intimate mercy will be upon that king to fulfill all of his desires. Because he has no false ego. He may be in a big post, but in his heart, he's only aspiring for one thing. Service. Whether one is a king or whether one is a street sweeper is quite irrelevant in regard to how Krishna sees us. Krishna simply sees our sincerity, our gratitude for the opportunity to serve, and how much we really put our heart into our devotional service. For Lord Chaitanya, this cleansing of the Gundicha temple was not a ritual. It was a glorious expression of devotion. Yesterday we heard from Hari Sari Prabhu how Srila Prabhupada was very, very insistent and careful to train the devotees in cleanliness, even in what is apparently very minute details that most people of the Western society would not even consider to be anything worth considering. Why was Srila Prabhupada insisting in this way? Prabhupada was simultaneously very strict and very compassionate. A few days ago, we were in Sharanagati, and there was a wonderful reunion of four of the original devotees who established Krishna consciousness in the West Coast. There was Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Malati Devi, Jamuna Devi, and Janaki Devi. And Janaki Devi was explaining her remembrances of Prabhupada before there was even a 22nd Avenue. How he was living in a loft in the Bowery, and that's where he was giving his classes. And she told a story of how Prabhupada, he was like the essence of all Paramhamsa, great souls. And
the conditions he had to live in were unbelievable. In that little loft in the Bowery, there was only a few people. The person who owned the place, just some hippie person, couldn't even afford the electricity properly. There was hardly any light. It was a dark room. Prabhupada was just sitting with a trunk in front of him, and metal little trunk. And he was speaking with so much enthusiasm from Bhagavad Gita. And a couple days later, early morning, she hears knock on door. And she comes to answer door, and it's Srila Prabhupada. He had to walk up all these flights of steps to get to Mukunda Maharaj, who was then Michael, and Jan, who later became Janaki, their apartment. And Prabhupada was just standing there. He had nowhere to go. Janaki explained how that person he was living with just went crazy and actually came to kill Prabhupada with a weapon. So Prabhupada had to leave that place. And here he was in a Bowery, and he has nowhere to go. So he actually came to Mukunda Maharaj or Michael and Jan's house. And they weren't, at that time, they weren't manifesting their roles as devotees. They were just a little bit friendly and favorable. That was all. A little bit friendly and favorable at the time. And Prabhupada asked if he could stay with them because he had no place. Such a humble position. He still had his ticket to go back to Vrindavan. Why didn't he go? That was the extent of his willingness to give his life, his soul, his everything, to give us Krishna consciousness. And there's no doubt that according to our genuine gratitude to Srila Prabhupada for what he did, is going to be a very, very important part of how Krishna will reciprocate with our devotional service. So he had no place to stay, and it was very difficult for both them and Prabhupada, for Prabhupada to stay with them, because they were not doing everything according to the Vaishnav standards at that time. Why should Prabhupada be subjected to it? So they got Prabhupada a place, 26 Second Avenue. And soon after that, Janaki and Mukunda were to get married. So they called all the relatives. And from Oregon, Yamuna Devi, she came. She wasn't Yamuna then, but and she came to the storefront and was brought to Prabhupada's little apartment behind. And Prabhupada said, "Where is the rest of your family?" She said, "I'm the only one that came." Prabhupada was amazed. This was a culture shock for Prabhupada. A girl's getting married and the parents don't even come? This is unheard of in India. He said, I need help cooking the feast. Prabhupada was doing everything in those days. Prabhupada was cooking like about a 15-course feast for his disciples' marriage. This is pretty menial service. He had no one to help him. So he asked Yamuna if she would help. He's preparing, he's cutting, he's washing, he's cleaning, he's doing everything. And while he's in the, she comes, and Prabhupada gives her a shopping list to go to the store and shop. But she said that it was difficult because he was putting many of the things in the Indian names. And it was an Oriental grocer. So he didn't know the Indian names. So it was very complicated. But she came back, and Prabhupada said, "You We will make khichoris. Do you know how to make medium hard dough? And I guess Jamuna was some kind of a very fantastic cook from the past. She, I don't know the vocabulary of cooks, but she explained some French word for what she thought a medium high dough, a very, very beautiful word. And Prabhupada just looked at her and said, "You don't even know how to make a medium hard dough?" He said, "In India, every girl 7 years old knows how to make a medium hard dough." He said, "I will show you how to make." So he was making. She was wearing mini skirt. And every time she touched herself, Prabhupada would very lovingly say, "Wash your hands." And she touched the floor, "Wash your hands." She touched her hair, "Wash your hands." And in the middle of the cooking, she, just as a matter of fact, she said, "You know, Swamiji, you know, could I go outside for a few minutes to take a cigarette break?" She thought that was a normal thing. Prabhupada, very compassionate, patiently, he said, "When we cook for Krishna, we don't smoke cigarettes." So Prabhupada was trying to somehow or other teach these Brahminical standards of cleanliness. But what is the reason? It's very important to understand. If we read the Hari Bhakti Vilas by Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, we find so many intricate rules of cleanliness. We see, you know, there's a mantra for everything we offer. There's a way to offer. It's very, very apparently ritualistic. And in some of the temples, I used to live in India, they would not even allow a person to eat with the other devotees until several weeks of training of cleanliness, of all the different rules, which seem like intricate, painstaking rituals. What do you know? What to speak of deity worship? But there's a reason. It's not just ritual. It's not just, as Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, some cleanliness phobia for germs. It's actually a process, a system of making us at every moment completely conscious that we're doing this for Krishna, and it has to be done absolutely perfect because it's for God. It's actually wonderful. I remember years ago when I was a pujari and we were doing Shalagram Shila worship and offering 64 items a day and so many mantras and so many rituals and so many standards of cleanliness and purifications at every moment and installing every item with mantras and mudras and before we even use it for the Lord's service. And first I was like, "What is this, you know?" Every second you're just concentrating. And after some time I realized, this is absolutely wonderful. It just makes you so Krishna conscious. So conscious at every moment to do things right for Krishna. Otherwise the tendency is our bodies are doing, but our minds are somewhere else. Yes? We're offering arti. We're right in front of the deity of Rukmini and Dwarkadish, offering the, and the lamp of the Giwiks is illuminating their moon-like faces. And our mind is thinking about paying the bills. I have to pay the bills, or I have to go and do this, I have to go and do that. Yes? That is tendency. Even when you're right in front of the Lord, The mind is a tendency to go somewhere else, and the body's doing the motions. But if you have to chant a mantra, if you have to be conscious in your mind at every moment of doing it perfectly for the Lord, then you're Krishna conscious. Srila Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that even in our most ordinary activities of the day, we should be fully conscious of doing it for Krishna. So yes, these apparently tedious rituals of rules, regulations for cleanliness and so forth are actually there not just for the physical cleanliness, because sometimes, you know, really does it make a difference from a physical point of view whether I do the achman and put 3 drops when I touch something? But the cleanliness of the heart, the cleanliness of the mind is very much affected by that. Because yes, whatever we're doing it for Krishna. And Krishna's watching how we're doing it and why we're doing it. So it should be done with maximum concentration and attention. So yes, King Prataparudra, on Lord Chaitanya's order, gave his order, 100 brooms and hundreds of water pots. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his devotees, in great eagerness, this was going to be such a benediction to clean the Lord's temple. They rose early in the morning and went right to Gundicha, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, with his own hands, wanted to render service to the servants of Lord Jagannath. He put chandan. Now, chandan is very costly. We know the story of Madhavendra Puri when he went all the way to Jagannath Puri to get that chandan for Gopal and Vrindavan. And they had to actually send, you know, guards with him, because chandan in those days was so very valuable, regulated even by the government. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was putting chandan with his own hands to decorate and give refreshing, cooling effect to all the devotees' bodies. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was offering garlands to each devotee with great love and great respect. And then, after offering them chandan, garlands, and words and gestures of love and affection, he gave each devotee a broom. This is how the Lord worships those devotees who serve with love and devotion. Then they went into the temple and began to clean. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to set the example for the whole world. He was not just cleaning. He was cleaning with enthusiasm. Rupa Goswami describes 2 of the qualities of surrender is enthusiasm and patience. And Prabhupada was especially very happy when he saw his devotees enthusiastic. Because really, enthusiasm means you're really putting your heart into what you're doing. You're really putting your consciousness in what you're doing. Enthusiasm really is an expression of our surrender. And it's very much our enthusiasm that pleases the Lord. Just like if you come to somebody's house and the host or hostess, he says, "You want some water? Here, take this water, drink it. If you want more, just tell me." Do you feel, "Oh, I'm so happy to be in this place"? But if the person, please accept this water. When things are done with enthusiasm, "Would you like more water?" Then you feel love. You feel like you're being loved because of the devotee's enthusiasm to do something for you. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that the greatest service to Krishna in this world is to chant the holy names and to preach the glories of the holy name. But such preaching has to be done with enthusiasm. He said, without enthusiasm, you are dead. That means really to put our heart into whatever we do, even the smallest details, with enthusiasm. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that if he were to cease to work, then the whole world would be ruined. That what a great person does, the common people will follow. Whatever standards he or she sets by exemplary acts, the world will pursue. So acharya means one who teaches by example. And actually, this is what leadership means. Prabhupada explains that a leader should command respect, not demand respect. To demand respect means, I am your superior, you must do what I say or else. Command respect means to lead such an example, to inspire people so much by the words and example that people are energized and eager to do what they're supposed to do. Mahajano yena katha sapanta. That the path to the highest perfection is to follow in the footsteps of great souls. This is how Srila Prabhupada led. In Sharanagati, I was telling you about that nice little reunion. And this was really what they were talking about. How these devotees, they had nothing. They just started a temple in San Francisco. All they had was enthusiasm. They didn't have much else except that. Mukunda Maharaj told Shyam Sundar, he said, we should start a temple in San Francisco. And Shyam Sundar said, well, what is a temple? What is a temple? He said, it's a storefront painted white. So they got a storefront and painted it white. And they saw Prabhupada. You know, how he came on Jaladuta, how he established things in New York City, how he came to San Francisco, how he was just totally willing and eager to give his life, his soul, his everything for the welfare of others. How nothing was impossible for him. Can you imagine? There's only about 4 or 5 favorable people. There's not even any devotees. Nobody dedicated yet. And Prabhupada just asked Mukunda Maharaj, who was just a favorable person at the time, a little bit becoming more and more interested, and he just brought some other people in who were just ready to help a little. And they incorporate the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. They asked Prabhupada, what is this international? We're just starting one little storefront here. We don't even know if we could pay the rent next month. Prabhupada said, no, international. We will have centers all over the world. And nobody could believe him. But that was his enthusiasm. He was against all odds. It was impossible. It was irrational. It was illogical. But he did it. He said, the only thing between a worldwide moving and today is just a little time. So when they saw how Prabhupada was so fearless, so courageous, so eager to see Krishna everywhere and do anything for Krishna, they became affected. Shyam Sundar Prabhu, there's a letter that Prabhupada wrote to Mukunda Maharaj when they were just in Frederick Street in San Francisco. Shyam Sundar Prabhu was showing me. This letter, Prabhupada saying, this is in 1967, he's saying that Shyam Sundar wants to go to London to make the Beatles devotees. I think this is a good idea. And I asked Shyam Sundar, what gave you that enthusiasm? They were the most famous people in the entire Western world. I mean, it's not that anybody could just go in and see them. They were being guarded on all sides by securities and everything. He said, no, we just saw how Prabhupada didn't think anything was impossible. He was just so enthusiastic to serve Krishna under all circumstances to please his guru that we were infused with that energy. We just had confidence we could do anything, anytime, because we had Prabhupada. And he did it! A little later, they're in Apple Record Studios. George Harrison's producing the records, playing guitars. Paul McCartney's doing some of the technical work, arranging things in the background. And like that. How is it possible? Because they saw Prabhupada's example. Even when everything was against him. Giriraj Swami, Tamal Krishna Goswami, they talk about in Bombay when that Mr. Nair, he was really trying to cheat the devotees. He took a down payment for some property, and then he took the down payment from other people for the same property. And he had no intention to give the property to Prabhupada. And he was powerful. He was actually in a government position. He was wealthy. He had connections all over Bombay in the highest levels. And Prabhupada didn't know anybody. He was just a little mendicant who had just come. But Prabhupada said, I have promised this land to Radharas Bihari. And this land is going to Radharas Bihari. Against all odds. At one point, Mr. Nair and his lawyers and his legal team convinced our lawyers, just give everything back to him, sign it over, and lose all legal stance. And our lawyers were convinced of it. And our devotees were convinced of it. And they actually signed it back to him. So we had no legal stand anymore to even attempt to get the property. They couldn't understand, you know, how is Prabhupada pursuing this? Nobody believes that it's possible. When Prabhupada heard about it, he was not happy. You know the story. He went in there. He somehow or other convinced Mr. Nair to sign some other document to put him back in the legal competition. He just wouldn't give up. This was a struggle that went on for years. And Prabhupada was against all odds. By all legal, logical considerations, it was impossible. But Prabhupada promised it to Krishna and it was going to be done. And now for those of you who go to Bombay, you see the most beautiful marble temple in the whole state of Maharashtra. Tens and thousands of people coming every day on weekends. Tens and thousands. Most popular temple in all of Bombay. Second largest city in all of India. 15 million people. That is Prabhupada. So much enthusiasm. So much faith. In everything he did, he just put so much of his heart's love for Krishna in every little thing he did. In Siddhanta Prabhu's memories series, we have so many devotees, their impressions of Prabhupada. Every little thing was just done with such meticulous devotion to Krishna. Nothing was just done. Yamuna Devi told me that when she went up to Prabhupada's apartment behind 26 Second Avenue to help him cook, she went into his room. He had practically no possessions. He just had like two sets of clothes, sannyasi clothes. And she said he just had an old metal trunk, you know, just to carry things. Probably the trunks that went on the Jaladutta to bring his books. She just said he had this old metal, beat-up, dented trunk that was his desk with the books inside. And he just had a little mat on the floor. That was it. That was all he had. But she said what he had about three or four articles on that trunk, which was the only possessions in the room, you know, a little water cup and, you know, pencil. And she said everything. It struck her. It struck her heart. She couldn't believe it. Everything was so meticulously, perfectly clean and just put in exactly the right place. Because Prabhupada saw this is Krishna's paraphernalia. Just like a pujari makes the articles of worship for Krishna, he or she is supposed to put them in a very, very nice position because it's Krishna's sacred paraphernalia. Prabhupada saw everything that was going to be used in Krishna's service like puja paraphernalia. Everything was so absolutely clean and perfectly placed. And sometimes we see in Prabhupada's disciples, appreciations, how he would drink water. It was like a transcendental offering to Krishna. How he would drink his water, how he would hold his beads. I remember one time at New Vrindavan, he was there, and Srila Prabhupada was sitting in a garden giving a darshan, answering questions. And I was, in those days, I had to do six offerings and six artis a day for the deities up at the Brahmachari farm, and I had to do all-night kirtan, which was walking down a road for 3 miles down the, not a road, down a mud mountain path, and then 6 hours of chanting kirtan and going back up the mountain path and waking the deities up. And when Prabhupada was there, he requested that I make sandesh for him for every meal. And then I couldn't miss his darshan either. So I would have to climb down a mountain, across a river, and then up another mountain, and then come to his darshan. And that day, I realized I lost my counting beads, and I didn't know how many rounds I chanted. Actually, a couple days before, I lost my counting beads somewhere in the forest. And that day, I was so busy, and I wasn't sleeping hardly, and I'm sitting in front of Prabhupada, he's speaking, there's maybe about 20 devotees there, on the grass, Prabhupada's on his vyasasan, and I was thinking, I don't even know how many rounds I chanted today. And right when I thought that, Prabhupada just looked right at me into the eyes. Because as he was speaking, he was also in between. He was chanting in his mala. Was like chanting. And he just looked right at me. And then he lifted his bead bag. And he took his hand. And like a theatrical performance, it was so meticulously done. He squeezed his counting bead and very slowly pulled it down while looking at me in the face like this. And his finger went. And I immediately understood I should get some counting beads immediately. Prabhupada wanted us to chant our rounds and count every single one of them and not be sloppy about that counting our rounds. So yes, as Acharya, Prabhupada taught us how to do everything in such a way that we are really putting our heart and soul into doing it for Krishna. And what does it mean to put your heart and soul for Krishna? It's not just a sentimental thing. It's practical. Prabhupada was very, very practical. If you're doing it for Krishna, you have to do it right to the best of your possible capacity. And there are so many examples of this. The famous story of the bell in Vrindavan, where Prabhupada wanted the bell to be rung every hour on the hour to the second. That means all night too. And when Prabhupada would be immersed in translating the Bhagavatam, all of a sudden he'd wake up his temple commanders and presidents. The bell didn't ring at 3 a.m. Every day, if any bell was not exactly on time,
Prabhupada was very, very strong. He was chastising him. You don't know how to manage. You don't know how to... Because a bell didn't ring at 3 in the morning or 2 in the morning. So to an ordinary mind, I mean, what's such a big thing about the bell ringing? But it was a very big thing. Because it's in these details that we can really show our love for Krishna. Krishna sees every little detail in which we do, that we're really conscious to do it perfectly. That's practical. This is what devotional service is about. That whatever we, if we're going to do it for Krishna, it has to be with excellence. If we're sweeping the floor, it has to be with excellence. It's puja, it's worship, because it's Krishna's floor. And that was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood while cleaning Gundicha Mandir. He was jubilant. Why? Because that makes Krishna happy. When you're doing something for Krishna and you're jubilant because you're doing it for Krishna, that's pleasing to Krishna, is it not? Krishna's a person. That's part of love. That you're happy to do it because it's for the pleasure of your beloved. If you're doing for something for someone and you really don't like to do it, and you would not, and you'd rather be doing so many other things, and you're unhappy doing it, but you're doing it out of duty, does that please the person you're doing it for? Part of love is happiness. We may be physically and mentally tortured, but our heart is happy. Because it's for Krishna. Because I have a chance to do this for Krishna. I'm happy to do this for you, Krishna. I'm happy to do this for the Vaishnavas. I'm happy to do this for the spiritual master. I'm happy to preach to the conditioned souls. That happiness is a type of devotional offering. So Lord Chaitanya was jubilant. Not because he was sweeping floors, but because he was doing it for Jagannath's pleasure. And it was contagious. Everyone was jubilant. They were totally immersed in this cleansing of Gundicha. There was no prajalpa. There was no sound of any word except Krishna. Krishna's names. They were so immersed in the oneness. They were, their minds were, their hearts were merged into the oneness of their aspiration to please Krishna. Therefore, they became so much, as they say in modern management, on the same page, that they didn't even have to talk. They would just say Krishna, and they would know, and the other person would know exactly what they wanted. Say Krishna, oh, he wants a bucket of water. Krishna, oh, he wants a new broom. And it is describing Lord Chaitanya was cleaning with such enthusiasm. It appeared that he had 1,000 hands simultaneously. That was his enthusiasm, to clean that temple. And he didn't just clean the floor. He cleaned meticulously every atomic particle of the ceiling, of the walls, of the floor, on the altar, in the kirtan hall, in the residential quarters, in the kitchen, everywhere. And he was collecting the dust with his own outer cloth that he would wear. He'd collect the dust and bring it outside and make a pile, and told all the devotees that they should also make piles. And Lord Chaitanya created a type of competition. But it wasn't an envious competition. It was a competition where everyone was trying to enliven and enrich everyone else's enthusiasm. All the 200 devotees that were helping him clean made one pile, and Lord Chaitanya made another pile. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says Lord Chaitanya's pile was very much greater in size than all the 200 devotees' combined pile. Haribo, he wasn't just cleaning, he was cleaning with quality, with enthusiasm, very practical. So yes, Srila Prabhupada did not want his followers to be on a lofty, theoretical platform of just, Vrindavan. And Prabhupada understood that for our devotion to be real, it has to be practical.
Our relationships have to be practical. And our service has to be done in a very practical way, where we're actually putting our heart, our soul, into everything we do for the pleasure of the Lord. There was a sannyasi who was in Vrindavan, and oh, was he in anxiety. Because he was given responsibility to help build the Krishna Balaram temple. Do you know how hard it is? Because in those days, especially, when you're a foreigner, everyone wants to charge you much more money than what something's worth. And the laborers and the contractors and the people who are selling, it was just a constant battle to get the right price, to get the people to do what they were supposed to do. And everybody else is just walking around, Radhe, Radhe, Shri Radhe Shyam. They're walking by, Jai Radhe, and he's like, you're charging too much here, I'll give you this many rupees. No, I'm not doing this many, I'll give you 20 rupees. No, you give me 40 rupees, I'll give you 21 rupees. No, Radhe, Radhe. So he was, I'm a sannyasi, what am I doing? And whenever Prabhupada would come, he would chastise why you paid so much for this, and why this isn't done yet, and why this is done so sloppy. We do this. Very difficult. Yes. The devotee said, I just want to do bhajan. Prabhupada said, this is your bhajan. This is your bhajan. Bhajan means to please Krishna. Bhajan doesn't mean to do what you like to do with your own imagination. Bhajan means to please Guru and Krishna. This is how you can please Guru and Krishna. Everything should be done first class. Prabhupada wanted everything within the Krishna consciousness movement to be done first class. Not simply because it's good for preaching, but because it's good for our hearts to do everything and put our heart and soul into making it as perfect as it could be. You could go back to Godhead by just placing a vase on the altar with that consciousness. Nobody will know except Krishna, but you will be perfect. Just putting the vase on the altar in the right place, in the right way, you can attain perfection if you really put your heart and soul into it. Just cutting the vegetables for Krishna should be done with speed, with accuracy, with everything, as perfect as possible. What an incredible service, cutting Krishna's vegetables. That's what Radharani and her associates are doing at Pavan Srovara every morning for Krishna. And we're being given, we're not even initiated devotees, and we're being given a chance to cut Krishna's vegetables? Unbelievable. This is the eternal service of the confidential associates of Radharani in the spiritual world. Yes? And we're doing the same thing for Radha and Krishna. Are we grateful? Are we enthusiastic? Are we putting our heart and soul into doing it with the topmost accuracy, quality, and speed, so that everything is balanced in such a way that it's a pleasing offering? Yes. This is Krishna consciousness, to be conscious of Krishna and pleasing Krishna in everything we do. And that is what we have read here in Lord Chaitanya's example of how he and his devotees, in this apparently menial service of cleaning a temple and residential quarters, Lord Chaitanya's devotees, they put their whole lives into doing it perfectly with such enthusiasm. And if we do every little thing, from bathing for Krishna, putting our tilak on for Krishna, chanting our japa for Krishna, hearing Bhagavatam for Krishna, cleaning for Krishna, even your own home, the grihasthas, your home is Krishna's home. If you're conscious of cleaning it in that, with that enthusiastic feeling of service, cleaning your own home is a great... It could be seen as Krishna as pleasing as the pujari bathing the body of the Lord. It's a matter of our consciousness. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And that consciousness is what actually makes Krishna conscious exciting, adventurous, and pleasing. If we do something half-hearted, then Krishna reciprocates and we'll get a very half-hearted experience doing it. If we do something wholehearted, we actually feel Krishna. Krishna reciprocates. And we see when we're enthusiastic, when we just perform the austerity of being enthusiastic for every little thing we do for Krishna, then Krishna consciousness is such an exciting and vibrant experience that brings joy to the heart. And it also makes management a lot easier for all the managers. But most of all, it creates an environment in which the seed of bhakti flourishes. Thank you very much.